When we hear so profoundly from the Lord in a reading today that points to anything that indicates our final judgment, sometimes it can be unsettling. First of all, to think about us moving from this life to the next. The second, in thinking about how the Lord will come to greet me at the end of my days. And Jesus gives us a hint of what that means, but only a hint. But it's very profound and beautiful to note what he says to his disciples. Do you understand these things? Yes. Understanding and wisdom are deep part of Christian discipleship. It's a part of our dignity as made in the image and likeness of God that we have a human intellect and free will. God provided them to you and me so that we could know, even in a limited capacity when compared to our Lord, in his omnipotent nature and his all-knowing ways, and to have a will to be able to choose what we know and have learned is good, true, and beautiful, either from the book of nature or natural law, as St. Paul says, the law of God inscribed on the heart of every person, or through the clarifications that come from divine law in the book of Revelation and what God reveals to us that we could not know on our own, or to perfect or clarify for us in a condition of original sin so that we could understand better who God is, who we are, who we're called to be in relationship with him and with one another. What allows for a flourishing spiritual relationship with the Lord, in other words, and flourishing human relationships in communion with one another in this pilgrim journey. And that's why, in a sense, we should be honored and glorifying the Lord within our hearts, our minds, and our souls, because of the message that he shares with us and the divine grace that he imparts to us in this new and everlasting covenant of which we are now a part, starting with our baptisms. When Jesus gives these two simple analogies today, what the kingdom of heaven is like as a treasure or fine pearls, he speaks about these two individuals who have found that treasure that is beyond measure in terms of its value. And notice how each of them gives everything that they have to possess it. When we come to understand what the kingdom of heaven is for us and the kingdom of God and how we have already been claimed by it and for it, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the more we understand it, the more it should build up within us a sense of wanting and longing for it for ourselves. It's actually a part of the virtue of hope, that as we perceive the mercy of Christ, it changes us to want to be united with him and his heavenly kingdom for all eternity. And it reorients the way in which we then approach our lives and gives us a new way of living. It's why when we look at the lives of the saints that perhaps we've come to know and love so deeply, those that are confirmation saints or others we have a devotion to, the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, St. Philip, others, over and over again, they replicate this analogy. They see in the kingdom of heaven a treasure that is beyond any human esteemed value. They understand its preciousness, how the doors of the heavenly kingdom were open for you and me. And they were willing to reorient the whole of their lives in pursuit of it. Many of us remember St. John Paul the Great, And his Episcopal motto, Totus Tuus, all yours. And we look at the model of his life from a very early age. That's how he oriented his intellect and will, giving everything that he had to the Lord. And there seems to be this marked moment in his young life when that happened after the passing of his mother, when he immediately goes to the church next door to where his family lived, kneels down before the statue of the Blessed Mother, and says to her, "You must be my mother now." And we can see within him at that young age an orientation towards holding the heavenly kingdom as the greatest treasure that was ever presented to him in his entire life. From there, we know he goes on and devotes himself to the Lord and his service, enters seminary in a very tumultuous period in Poland, even risking his very existence and life in the face of communism. It's one story where he went out to study, stepping away from the underground seminary in which he was a part, and the party had come and arrested everybody that was in the seminary except him. But he was willing to risk that. And through his life, his ministry as a priest and then as a bishop in Poland, over and over again, willing to confront, even publicly, the evil of communism, the godliness of it, how it pulled people away from God. And being confronted and threatened over and over again and hunted by the Communist Party, he was unafraid because he understood the treasure he possessed in the heavenly kingdom. And he wanted others to know it too. We know the rest of his story as he's elected Pope, the first Polish Pope in the church, and how he lived a life of sanctity for the whole world and continued to fight against communism to help understand, for the world to understand the dignity of the human person, the goodness of the gospel, the preferential option the church has for the poor. He became that teacher that Jesus speaks about as the scribe that is ahead of every house, that is ahead of a household, brings from the storeroom the old and the new, so that all had an opportunity in hearing him and witnessing his life to understand the treasure that is for all to be a part of and all to possess in the kingdom of heaven. And how many lives throughout his own life, a young boy, teenager, seminarian, priest, bishop, and pope, were inspired by the example of his life and drawn closer to the kingdom of heaven. That in a sense, he inspired within many the Episcopal motto by which he lived, Totus Tuus, all yours. I think for us, my brothers and sisters, we come before the Lord in the sacrifice of the Mass because we've been gifted with the wisdom and understanding of what we celebrate. When we come forward to receive Holy Communion, it's not just a mere religious practice, but we see it as an opportunity to be in communion with our Lord, to know his presence and nearness to us, to participate in the worship of the heavenly kingdom, and to receive him and be nourished by him in grace through his Eucharistic presence. And that is why when we're presented with the mystery, the body of Christ, we say, Amen, I believe. So that strengthened and renewed by this heavenly treasure, we can go out reoriented into our daily lives, into our homes, community, workplaces, schools, friends, and hand on by the example of our lives what we received, strengthened, knowing that we give everything that we have to possess the treasure of the heavenly kingdom.